Hey there, this is Seth Juarez from Channel 9 here with Joseph Sirosh. Did I say that right?
Yeah, Joseph Sirosh. Good afternoon.
So tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, I'm the Vice President of Machine Learning and Information Management. Mm-hmm. That basically means I am in charge of building out the next generation of analytics platform. Machine learning is a big, interesting component of that. Mm-hmm. Information management is equally important because that's what helps you bring all of that data to the advanced analytics we're building.
Fantastic. Now, those that know me know I'm a machine learning. I love machine learning. I'm a junkie of that. For developers that are watching, what is a good way to describe machine learning?
Yeah, so traditional analytics is sort of like looking in the rearview mirror, right? You look at the data that has been historically collected, you slice and dice it, you look at graphs, you try to infer patterns from it. Now, machine learning lets you look into the future. It's looking forward. It lets you infer what the future is likely to be from past data in a very scientific manner. And that's what really machine learning is all about.
That's really cool. So what got you interested in machine learning? I know the first time I was like, this is pretty exciting. What was it for you?
You know, personally, I've been interested in this area of AI in general since age 12. And when I went to do my PhD after my undergrad, back in 91, one of the courses I took was a neural networks class. Neural networks had become very hot at that time.
I remember that.
So I really got excited by that. And I really then went ahead and took some neuroscience classes. You know, by the way, if ever you get a chance, it's worth taking a neuroscience class because it truly makes you believe in the power of God. Because it is a marvelous machine, your brain, and how it's architected. And so that's how I really got excited by the potential of machine learning. And since then, I've had a 20-year-long career in that area.
That's fantastic. So what, if you've been living under a rock, you probably have not heard of Azure ML. How has Azure ML sort of brought forward this vision of thinking about machine learning as looking to the future?
Yeah, and Azure ML is really about democratizing machine learning. So really, you know, having done 15 years of work building applications in machine learning, now I felt it was really not necessary to have all of this complexity. Mm-hmm. So what if you could reduce machine learning to a lot of recipes that people could quite easily use with some training?
Right.
And not only do you just do machine learning and understand patterns in the data and forecast things, but what if you could build APIs in the cloud that can be hooked up into every app, into every mobile app, into every application with very little coding or just a few clicks? Mm-hmm. So what I went for was create a very simple product to use to follow certain recipes in machine learning. And with a few clicks, I get APIs in the cloud. They can now take data in and do those kinds of predictions that you wanted to have.
Fantastic. Now, machine learning or data science in general, the practitioners tend to be data scientists or developers.
Right.
But how do you convince the business user you should really have people look at this?
Well, I think it's actually fairly simple. It's a matter of communicating. Now, for example, every business user uses forecasting. Mm-hmm. That's one example of machine learning.
Right.
Like for example, right now, we are making predictions for our own financials, for our finance organization using Azure ML.
Wow.
Azure ML is actually forecasting very accurately our license sales and volume licensing and a number of things. And it turns out to be extremely accurate compared to what human beings produce, right? Because it's purely data-driven. It has no biases of any type.
Right.
Now, just understanding the concept that forecasting can be thought of as machine learning is in many ways itself very illuminating, right?
Right?
Now, other things are fraud detection, detecting unusual patterns, detecting sentiment in text. All of those things are actually becoming really useful. You know, the big picture, by the way, is we're becoming inundated with data.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every behavior is getting captured in data even, right?
Yeah.
Even social behavior, even movement, even Fitbits, all of those things. And sensors all over the world are now throwing up enormous amount of data. Like, for example, ThyssenKrupp is looking at predicting elevator failure from sensor data.
Wow.
Right? And so imagine a world where every elevator, every escalator, every machine is throwing off of data on top of which machine learning is operating to see its needs for service, maintenance, optimizing things, all of those wonderful things, right?
Now, traditionally, moving on to the data scientists, what I did machine learning is I had a problem and then I'd write some algorithm and then I would, it would be this long process. For a data scientist, why would it be more advantageous to move to something like Azure ML, for example?
Well, several reasons. I mean, first of all, you have to start looking at the intelligent application and work backward from there. What do you need to actually have an application that is intelligent residing in it? Right. I mean, today, if you are a data scientist, you do your work in a language like R, mm-hmm. and then you get this model, and then you had to really recode it in C++ or C# or Java
right.
to actually get it into an app. It's a very long process, mm-hmm. okay? And in a regular company, it takes a lot of time for IT to code and implement a model, and imagine updating the model when your data changes, right? It's a very slow process. Now, that itself is an unrecognized bottleneck. So with Azure ML, that's just a few clicks.
Right.
You actually get an API that lives on the cloud. You don't have to worry about hardware it's hosted on, no coding required. You can just send it data and get your predictions back. That cuts out a huge chunk of time between you building a model and getting it productized. You developing an analytics and it being in your application, right? That's a huge productivity game changer. This actually empowers every developer too, right? You know, in a big way. Now, then comes the front end. In the front end, look, these days there is a lot of rich variety of machine learning algorithms. You don't have to re-implement these things.
Yeah.
Very often what you really are doing is following a cookbook, you know, following a recipe. Data scientists hold cookbooks in their head. So that part becomes actually really easy with Azure Machine Learning. And then you're left with some of the drudgery of collecting data, munging data, which is it's painful. And there you do still need some data science skills to actually know what pieces of data are truly relevant.
Right.
What are the things that you have to bring together? Those are some of the harder problems for us to go automate. We'll make progress towards that, by the way. We have some exciting technologies coming from MSR
cool.
based on program synthesis to actually make that data wrangling piece of it much better, right? But so that's how sort of working backward, right? We dramatically simplified the operational deployment. Mm-hmm. We simplified the cookbook, the recipes and workflows. And now we have got this data wrangling piece yet to be simplified, which we're actually going to work hard at.
That's fantastic. Well, so for the data scientists, it's more of a, you've already got all the recipes in your head. We kind of know what those are. Azure ML helps you realize those.
Yeah, and realize.
So for the developer, it sometimes becomes a little, wow, machine learning is really complicated. How can I use Azure ML in a simple way?
Yeah, great question. So you should start with gallery.azureml.net. Okay, you go to the gallery, you see actually hundreds of examples people have created. It can be predictive maintenance, it can be forecasting, it can be churn prediction. There's even an experiment of predicting whether if you were a passenger on the Titanic, whether you will survive or not.
Oh, right, I've seen that.
Yeah, no, it's a very fun thing. And so what you have is these experiments that people have authored. These are sample experiments. What you should do is just get a sample experiment, run it, see how it runs, and then learn how to modify it. It's actually very easy to modify an existing experiment. And in fact, we have this great story. I talked about this at my build keynote, which was a developer called Adam Garland. He was in office. He participated in our March Madness prediction competition. You know, March Madness is the basketball, collegiate basketball, right, in March.
And there's a ton of, like, statistics-wise, it's very difficult to get a lot right.
Yeah, well, and what he found was that if he just looked at the team data, we had provided data over 20 years of teams winning and all of that, and he just used the Titanic example and modified it some, and he actually got pretty good results. And then he went on to iterate and he got more of the team performance data, like how many rebounds in a game and so on. He put that in, and his prediction, by the way, beat Satya's prediction and was like way better than Bing and Google and was like at the top of the whole thing. Right, so this was a developer who didn't actually know machine learning. He thought Azure ML was, and this March Madness competition would be a great way to get to know machine learning, and he ended up at top.
Right.
And so you totally have the ability to start from scratch and in a matter of a week or two, actually using these examples, get to extremely high quality predictions.
Now, I've given a lot of talks on machine learning, and primarily the feedback I've gotten is, this stuff is really cool. I don't know how to start thinking about where I should use it.
Yeah.
Do you have any tips for, is there something, and it's a hard, I've had a hard problem describing this. Well, what can't you use it for? But what's a good way to think about machine learning so that you can say, oh, I could use that here, or I could use that here?
Yeah, data, Right? I mean, first thing is data, where you have plenty of data. Now, data is all around us. I mean, for example, I have people using it for test, in a software test. There are people who are looking at all of the feedback coming in from customers. Like, I believe our Cortana application, when it was getting a lot of testing going on before the product was launched, you needed to triage the data intelligently, the feedback that was coming in, to the right team. So how would you send it to the right team without somebody in the middle actually doing it?
Right.
We are actually even trying it for Windows 10, in fact, believe it or not. And so machine learning can be used to sort of route data intelligently. Now that's an example. You can, in our SQL database on the cloud, for example, he is using it for monitoring purposes. You know, we have 1.2 million SQL databases in Azure. Right? How do you know when something is going to misbehave? To manage it at scale, you need to look at the telemetry coming from these databases, seeing and predicting if something is going to fail.
Right.
And if you can alert that early, then a developer can go fix that database, right? Before it actually keels over and causes an outage.
Right.
I mean, examples like this, data like this are around us all, all around us. One of the fun examples, by the way, is Fujitsu's connected cow. I don't know if you've heard about
I
this
one. I have not. Collected cow?
Connected cow.
Okay.
Right? So Fujitsu has put these pedometers on the feet of cows.
Connected. Yes.
Cow.
Yeah.
Right? And these cows are being monitored. So I mean, why would you monitor cows day in and day out?
Right.
Like, do cows need to take 10,000 steps a day?
They do.
No. The answer turns out to be the step count of a cow turns out to be actually a very interesting predictor for the onset of estrus. When the animal goes into heat, it starts walking much faster, being nervous, being a little bit more, the step count shoots up dramatically. And detecting that is super important for the farmer, so he can actually maximize the consumption rate by scheduling artificial insemination at the right time.
Oh my goodness.
And that Fujitsu found that they could significantly improve pregnancy rate of cows in dairy farms by using analytics. And that analytics service runs on Azure.
That's funny you say that, because someone from Oklahoma sent me the same kind of problem, but they wanted to use machine learning to predict the best mating patterns.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, so it's interesting that you can do that. And I liked a lot how you said, well, it's hard to answer the question of how can I use it, but how about you look at where you have the most stockpile amount of data, and let's see what kind of questions you ask.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, here's a follow-on question to that. I guess maybe a good segue. What kind of data can Azure ML pull from? Now that we have all of this data, how do I get it into the system, or is there a specific format that you need to worry about for Azure ML?
Well, it's simple data. So you can put the data in any SQL database. On the cloud, Azure Tables, Azure Storage, CSV formats, TSV formats, and we are actually rapidly expanding the available number of formats we parse and databases that we connect to. So you can bring data, I mean, right now the simplest way is to bring data in Azure, in Azure Storage as files, and then work off of it. Right? We can, of course, add to that and add connectivity through third-party components and our own.
Sure.
So some people also bring data into HD Insight, our Hadoop as a service, and then do initial joining, munging, and all of that there. Others actually bring in a SQL DB where you can do SQL-based joins and filters and selects and all of that, and then prepare the data. So the answer is, where do you want to prepare the data? If you want to prepare the data using SQL, bring it in a SQL database. If you want to prepare the data using Hadoop queries and Hive, bring it into Hadoop. Mm-hmm. If you're just going to write scripts on it to prepare the data a little bit, then like R scripts, just land in Azure Storage, run off of it, etc.
So pretty much, if it's in the cloud, we can consume it somehow.
We can cloud it extremely. We can consume it extremely easily. If it's not in the cloud, we can just upload CSV files into Azure Machine Learning and start using it.
So that brings me to the next question. Most people don't realize this, but the bulk of data science work is not necessarily where the data is or building the models, but it's cleaning your data.
Yeah.
It's the dirty secret, right? There's a lot of cleaning that happens. Is there anything that Azure ML can do to help with cleansing and maybe even feature selection?
Yeah, you know, great question. See, as I said, that's one of those areas where, because data is so diverse, there aren't simple answers to this, right? Which is why we actually support R and Python and SQLite in Azure ML. So you typically can find a lot of sample code online using R and Python to munch data in various ways. It's just easy to take those kinds of scripts, modify it for your use, mm-hmm. and plug that into Azure ML and start using it right away. In fact, that's one of the power of Azure ML as well, which is Azure ML is now the best way to munch both in R and Python and SQL and even Hadoop in one workflow.
Right.
No other tool provides that. You typically have to do this work outside, then bring only the munch data in, and then do all of this. With Azure ML, you can bring all of the data feeds in, have R scripts that are plugged in, or Python scripts plugged in, SQL scripts plugged in, and that can transform the data, and then you can execute a full workflow.
Right.
And then when you actually need to put this in production in an API, well, typically you need to repeat some of the steps of that data transformation,
correct.
Remember? So you can actually copy that very easily and have that be part of your production workflow as well. And then you can publish an API that has that full workflow.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a model you're publishing, it is the incoming data, the transformations you do, the model that you apply to it, and then rules and things you might apply at the output of the model, okay, to produce a final outcome
right.
you want. So you're actually able to build a full machine learning application and publish it as an API.
Right.
That's the power of Azure ML.
I like the data munching part for me is where the data scientist intuition really comes into play.
It's
and
true.
Some of the tools that you have online, like for example, visualizing a data set, seeing the distribution of the data, it
yeah.
really helps with that.
It absolutely helps. And we have lots more innovations that are coming in the future. You know, for example, we are working on data wrangling using something called program synthesis.
Okay.
It's actually a very exciting area. Now, you know, in Excel, we have a tool called Flash Fill. If you haven't tried it, you should really try it. That allows you to use some of these things. You show some examples of data transformations, and then the program synthesis technique can generate a program or a regular expression that can be applied to data to actually repeat the like the examples you showed it.
Okay? I
see. So what if, when you want to do this munching of data, you could show examples of the kind of munching you want to do, and then have a program synthesis technique to generate the code automatically behind those kinds of transformations. So then your task of generating this munching code, et cetera, is dramatically simplified. You're going to teach by example. And that's one revolutionary technique that
that's
we are
really
looking
cool.
to work on.
I mean, that goes beyond filling in missing values with the average, for example. You can
correct.
Literally find a way to, I want it like this, and the computer will say,
computer
okay.
will, yeah. Computer will generate the regular expression to fill that in, or computer program to do that.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So now that we've been able to munch the data and we've got it, the features we want, we've got it cleansed the way we want, there's obviously models that you're going to build on top. There's the supervised models and the unsupervised models. What supervised models are available in Azure ML?
Yeah, I mean, Azure ML has a very rich collection of supervised models. So there are things like two-class booster decision trees.
Mm-hmm.
There are multi-class booster decision trees. There are decision jungles. There are, of course, a variety of regression algorithms.
Mm-hmm.
There's something called base point machine.
Mm-hmm.
There's a support vector machine, a version of that. So there's a whole lot of machine learning algorithms, state-of-the-art ones. For example, the two-class booster decision tree is what's used by Bing for its search engine result ranking, right? And it is one of the best that MSR has developed. Very, very accurate. So we have all of those supervised algorithms of different classifiers, regression algorithms, and so on. We also have unsupervised algorithms like PCA, principal component analysis.
Mm-hmm.
We have k-means clustering,
of course,
and we have a few of those. And then if you choose to use the packages in R, you know, the language R has an incredible wealth of packages of all types. Anything invented in these last 5-10 years in statistics for these things, you can pretty much find a package for it
yeah.
in R. And so you have that entire wealth of algorithms at your fingertips.
So speaking of these models, when you are modeling your data to do prediction, is there a way to compare which models are better? Is there a way to sweep through parameters and,
right.
and make sure you have the right parameterization for parameterized
models? Yeah.
How do you do that in Azure ML?
Yeah, that's great. In Azure ML, there is a sweep parameters module that you can attach to any type of algorithm and just sweep over all the parameters. So that's, again, one of the power of the cloud computing brought to this, right? You can run, use the power of the cloud, the compute available in the cloud to sweep through and find the best parameters. Now, one of the things we're working on in the future is being able to blend the sweep parameters with sweeping over algorithms. What if we could try different algorithms and parameters at the same time and figure out what's the best for you?
That's really cool. One of the cool things that I like is that you can, I mean, if you can visualize this, right, there's stuff, there's data coming down and you plug into the models,
yeah.
but from the outputs, you can actually run multiple models at the same time and
right.
compare them.
Yeah, exactly. And then you compare that output based on one of those metrics, like there's an ROC, there's
right.
an AUC. I mean, these are all metrics that people are used to. Azure ML provides ways to compare them, and then you can actually pick what you want.
Okay, so now that we've got our models and we've been able to build them, how does a developer actually consume or use them? I know you touched on this a little bit. Maybe we can talk
yeah.
a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so typically you have an experiment workflow that you build to run these data science experiments, try to pick the model and so on. But once that's done and you've converged on the model that you like, well, now you want to build your intelligent application with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's say you're trying to identify fraud. Okay, data is coming in, there is a model that you now have built that can identify fraud quite accurately. How, let's say it's a two-class booster decision
right.
tree. Well, now the trained model needs to be put into what's called a scoring workflow. When the scoring is happening, typically what you're going to do is you're going to get individual records,
mm-hmm.
and now you want to derive features, that same type of feature you used for modeling for that,
mm-hmm.
right? And then apply the model here, the fraud detection model you just trained, just copy it over. And then typically after you got a score, you want to say, hey, if score is above a certain amount, flag red
yeah.
or flag green, right? You have to put that threshold in.
Right.
So that's your application workflow. So Azure ML now, from the core one, allows you to create a scoring experiment. You can click create scoring experiment. It'll take the essential portions of your graph, copy it over, and you can then modify that experiment graph to eliminate components you don't want, add other components you want, and now you've got a scoring workflow
right.
that includes the individual record-based transformation, and then the scoring of the model, and then rules for thresholding, et cetera, whatever you like. And once you have that scoring workflow, you can run it, and then you can actually publish an API with a few clicks. And you immediately get a REST API on the cloud. It's also an OData API, if you
mm-hmm.
know that. It's an API that is self-describing. Now, that API can be called from any Python, R, C++, C Sharp, any application with an API key. But that API now lives in the cloud, mind you. It's a
right.
live API. It can accept data and can give you results back. So you've got a, sort of an application running in the cloud as something you build, and machine learning API as a service
mm-hmm.
is what you have.
That's really cool. So it sounds like you batch train the model,
right?
You move it over to scoring.
Yeah.
So what about updating the model? Does the model update anytime you give it new data? Are these separate experiments? How do you go through that process of model
yeah.
updating?
Yeah, we do. We have a technique called the retrain API, which is a few function calls that allow you to actually send new data, retrain the model that is in the web service, okay, without having to go through this entire process of redoing the experiment and republishing the API. And so you can live update that API, that model as well.
That's fantastic. Is there any facility to do, for example, like online sort of machine learning algorithms? Instead of doing a batch update, like a way to do streaming?
Well, the reality is any experimental workflow that you create can also be published as an API. So if you just want to update that flow with new data or new batches of data, you can actually keep sending it data and updating it. Now, in practice, a lot of people don't use online machine learning because, except in very controlled situations where the data is so stable,
mm-hmm.
you don't want corrupt data or sudden changes in data to affect the model. So people typically are very careful about changing the model.
Mm-hmm.
They update it in very controlled ways, right? And there are safeguards around it. So you typically don't want to do that unless you know exactly what to do.
Right, right. So let's go on to recommendations.
Sure.
Now, I haven't looked at this very much. How does the recommender systems, I saw they were in there. How do those work?
So the recommender system uses some of the algorithms we have in Xbox. Mm-hmm. We have some great recommendation techniques there, developed in MSR. And so we have now encapsulated that into a very nice service that is so easy to integrate. Like, for example, we have a major computer manufacturer, e-tailer, using that now for recommendations on their website. All they had to do was put in some JavaScript on every page to send the data. So they are sending data from their website clicks into our system. So we know which product is being bought, by who, and so on. And then the model automatically is learning from that every single day. That's it's cool. Publishing recommendations for it. And those recommendations are being delivered on the web page by API calls.
I don't know if you guys know this that are watching. If you finish watching this video, you'll see we recommend other videos. It's actually using the Azure ML recommendation system.
In fact, exactly. So Channel 9 is using that recommendation system,
isn't it?
It's sending the data about what videos are being viewed by who. To our machine learning recommendation engine, and it's learning to recommend new videos to you. I mean, give it a try and tell us how it looks, how good it is.
I think it's pretty cool. Now, just to finish up, as I know your time is limited, what is a good way for a developer to get started? To say, okay, I want to give this an hour, let me dig in.
Yeah, great. Just sign into Machine Learning Studio. All you need is a live ID. You don't need a credit card, you don't need to sign up. It's a very, very simple service. In fact, even guest access exists where you don't even have to have a live ID. It's just a session. Mm-hmm. Now, just go into the studio, you'll see a number of sample experiments and tutorials. It walks you through that. In fact, if you press plus new, there is even an experiment tutorial mm-hmm. that you can click through and go through your experience of building a machine learning workflow and publishing an API. That's a great place to get started.
Right.
Now, we also have a book on Amazon now on Azure Machine Learning that some of our scientists internally wrote and published. And there are many videos and tutorials all in there. So just sign in, start playing with the tutorial, look through a lot of the videos, and when you want to go to the advanced material, either go through the documentation. There's in fact a great collection of web pages on what's called a cloud data science process that we have published that walks you through the details of how to go end to end. Okay, that's a very good one to look at. And then there are these books available as well.
I think it's really cool that it's in the cloud, primarily because when I used to do machine learning, I was always restricted by the amount of RAM that I had or how much space I had.
Yeah.
And now in the cloud, it feels like I've been freed from that restriction. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff happening in the background, but that's essentially what you've done. You've freed yourself from having to think about the implementation.
Completely, and that's the thing about the cloud, right? The cloud frees you as a developer from having to worry about machines, worry about storage, worry about compute power, worry about provisioning software, all of that. Now, I have this saying that, you know, the cloud turns hardware into software because you don't have to worry about hardware. It's become like software as a service. It turns software into services, fully managed services, right? You don't have to worry about licenses and all of that. It's all supported in the cloud. And data into intelligence.
Right.
And it lets you free.
That's really cool. Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us. I know you're really busy. Thanks for watching. Check out some of the stuff online. My name is Seth Juarez, and we will see you next time. Take care.
Thank you, Seth.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers.